Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pembrey, and Marielle Smith. Join us on our writing journey. Hi, Marielle. First of all, how has your week been?
Writing-wise, it's been really good. As you know, I've been really struggling with my young adult fantasy novel because it's a mess. I was set on combing through every scene and just seeing what I had because I've done so many drafts and every draft I try to fix something and it doesn't always connect. So there's so many solutions which then creates like problems and then I need to fix those problems, so there's new solutions but they don't actually connect to previous things. So it was such a mess. So this doesn't mean I figured out the plot yet, but at least I've reached the end of the document in terms of I now have in a notebook scene by scene, bullet point per bullet point per point, what's there and like what I already know that isn't working. So I have an overview now. What I want to do now is between this moment, between today and the end of the year, is really hone in on that plot and figure it out once and for all. That's my plan.
So you feel like you've made progress?
I'm definitely making progress, yes. Okay. Finally. So how's your week been?
Well, we signed for Lily today. So. Yeah, so she's all ours and she ate a rubber band yesterday and nearly had to go to the vets to have it sicked up.
And that was a test.
Well, she's, I've never had a dog at the vets so often, but there you go. For better or for worse, she's ours.
Yes. And you signed after, so that's good.
Yes. Despite everything.
So yes. Yeah.
Writing-wise, it's been a steady plod. I need to commit a big chunk of time, you know, to sit down for a few hours to get back into it because since getting Lily, it's just disrupted my routine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still writing every day. It's just not the sort of word count that I want.
Like I know she's a, like she's a spaniel, right? So she has like tons of energy.
Yeah.
Does that also affect like your concentration levels in the moments that you do get to write?
Because I do quite a bit of exercise anyway and she comes with me, she tends to sleep between bouts of going out.
Okay.
And she has to, be fair, she has to because I have a day job that I have to do and she has to be good for that, which she has been. So she's actually pretty perfect. It's just that disruption of my routine. Plus getting the two dogs, we did slow introductions and that was made life a bit difficult because we kept them separate for a little while and made sure they only had positive experiences together. But it was difficult because you didn't want to leave one for too long. So that disrupted things. And we're through that now and I've no excuses other than I just need a period of time to actually sit down and do it and not just grab half an hour here and half an hour there because it's not that effective.
No, I think that works really nicely if you're in that routine.
Yeah.
Because then you're still in the story. But if you have to sort of like find your way back into it, like a snippet of time here and there is not gonna get you in the right mood or something or the right mindset.
I'm not connected to the story at the moment. I did at the weekend, I was doing like over 500 words a day, but that's nothing, is it? I need to be doing a couple of thousand a day just to get back into it and then I'll be okay.
So this is one of the books, this is the next book you're writing with Amy.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you still in the plotting phase or has the writing begun?
No, the writing's begun. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And okay. I also got a lovely copy of 52 Weeks of Writing, Author, Journal and Planner, Well, I got two copies, one as a present and one was a present to me from me.
best present.
Yeah.
To give yourself as an author. So what do you think?
Well, I've had a good sniff and it smells beautiful. But my plan is to start it in January.
So makes sense. Yeah.
I'll have a good look at it over Christmas when I've got some time and have a think about what I want to do with it and what I want to write in it. And then start it in January so that I know when I've started it and hopefully I'll finish it by December that year, 2020.
I'm so excited you got one. It's really like, it's really funny because I got this one out and it was such a hassle because there was some technical glitch. So I uploaded it super early on Amazon to make sure it was there. Then there was a glitch, of course, right? So I was a week early, a week sooner than I had initially planned just because I was finished. I was like, I'm not taking any chances. And it still took me a few emails to Amazon to actually get it out there. But it's really funny because now it's out there. And now the other version is selling tons of copies suddenly. So not the new one, but the first one.
Do you think it's a preference for the colour?
I actually wonder whether that is all because Amazon now has the series function. So I linked the two books. And I do say in the blurb of the second book that, you know, even though I call this volume two, that doesn't necessarily mean that you cannot use it first. Like there's nothing in it that makes, like there's no preference for order. So I wonder whether, because this is the new one, and so I'm assuming it shows up more in the algorithm because it's new, but because it's linked to the other one, maybe people go like, oh, but this is the first one. So let's start with this one. I wonder whether that's happening.
But that would be really good because if people love it, then they're likely to buy the second one as well.
Yes, and it is true as well that they have a completely different look. It's still very clean, I would say.
Yeah.
But it has a bit more, it's a bit more organic. The other one is very squarey, which people loved. But this year I wanted to make it a bit more artsy.
It's a great handful.
It's a massive thing, isn't it?
Speaking of which, have you started the story grid book, because that's quite a massive book as well.
Yeah, speaking of massive book, there is so much introductory stuff.
I suppose it's a new concept as well, you know, the way of thinking of story. And
I don't like skipping. I'm pretty sure there's people who just jump in.
That's me.
Yeah, okay, I'm not like that. Like, I am the person who I read the entire Scrivener manual before I started it.
No. Yes. No way.
And no regrets. And every time I recommend it to a client, I tell them, go through the manual.
So if you received some flat pack furniture, do you read the instructions?
Is this a rhetorical question?
So we got a sofa today that needed some, you know, putting together. I didn't even look for the instructions. I just looked for where the legs went and where the...
Oh, no, I always look at the instructions. Yeah.
I would drive you mad.
You have seen my Kanban board.
Yes.
You know, I like my structured.
Yes. I just hadn't thought about how it might extend to other things.
Me neither. But it is true. Like, so for example, I don't want to jump into Story Grid because I feel like if I read all that introductory material, I get kind of a sense of who the writer is.
Yeah, that's true.
And it will help me grasp. That's what I'm hoping. It will help me grasp what he's trying to do.
And there's loads of stuff. There's loads of stuff on the website, you know, loads of blog posts about the individual sections. And there's two podcasts.
I had this discussion this week that my to be listen pile is getting bigger than my to be read pile.
Oh, dear.
There's so many things you could be listening to. Yeah, so I have the book. I'm looking at it now. It's also been a bit crazy busy in my day job. I've been trying to have a break so I could write. And then so I decided for myself that I was only going to accept like really, really fun projects. And then sort of the universe was like, oh, you only want really, really fun projects. So I got like tons of really, really fun projects in my way, which is not like, I do like paying my rent. So I'm not upset. But like, there's always this project. I always have these projects that I'm like, oh, like things are a little slow. Oh, somebody needs me to work on this. Yeah, I'll just accept it because I have the time and, you know. And now it's just like, I only get things that I'm like, oh, yes. Oh, I want to work on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but yeah, I'm trying to take this week off. The when the episode lands, that's the week I'm going to try to take off.
Okay. My day job is crazy busy as well, and I actually need to do something to manage that better, because at the moment I'm just trying to fit the impossible in. So
have you thought of using the Kanban concept for your day job yet?
I've thought of it, and then I've not had time to implement it.
Yeah, I did take a few days for me too. Get my heads around.
I need a quiet period to actually implement it.
Yeah.
And it's been just impossible, crazy, but where you can't kind of prioritize things.
Yeah. I know what that feels like.
Yeah. So hopefully. I the one thing that I'm really good at is not letting it leak into, you know, after work time.
That is really good. I would say that's probably been my biggest struggle. It was a big struggle when I was a teacher, because some students really do, like when they email you at 8 p.m. And you haven't answered by 11 p.m., they will send you an angry email, which then as a teacher, I also ignored the second angry email. Because that was kind of my principle. But yeah, it is kind of, that was also a job that was easily sort of influenced, like everything. It can be so much more than just the days that you're like sort of clocking in.
Well, on Friday, I had a request for a court statement that they wanted to buy Monday. Now, I don't work Mondays. So, and Friday was already jam-packed with things that you can't cancel at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a choice of doing it over the weekend or negotiating for a longer period. So I negotiated for a longer period, and I did it yesterday.
But
it was still a struggle, because I was doing it on top of, I was on duty as well, so that means that I have to deal with anything that comes in and trying to write a court report, which is just not ideal. Especially when you know that you're going to be going to court to answer for it, you know, to have to justify what you've written as well. So,
yeah, but I do think it's good that you, because for me, I always sacrifice my weekends, and I'm really learning to say, instead of asking the client when they need it, I'm becoming more comfortable saying, great, if you send it to me by then, I can get it back to you by then. So I look at my own schedule before I ask the client, when do you need it?
I like boundaries. I like boundaries at work, because I just feel that, especially working from home as we are at the moment, that it can take over your life, or any aspect can take over your life.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't write when I'm doing my day job, you know, as in I don't carve out any time to write. I don't know what my boss thinks, but I do. But I don't. I just focus on the day job, and And that's what I expect outside. I expect to be able to concentrate on the things that I like or need to do.
Yeah.
In my own time.
Yeah. Well, one day I'll have the same boundaries from my day job.
I think it's thinking about how you want your life to look and what's important to you as well.
I have, because I know we talked about this, like the whole planning for 2021.
Yeah.
So I did like have an assessment of, okay, so how much money do I need? How much money would I like to make? How many hours per week does that actually mean? Yeah. So I sort of like created an ideal schedule for myself. And then also, so because like, you know, that I have my massive Kanban board because I need limits.
Yes.
I did like kind of like drafted a kind of a schedule saying, okay, so this is the max amount of paid projects, like paid hours that I want to do. And that gives me so many hours per day to either work on my nonfiction or on my fiction.
Yeah.
So I have been thinking about that.
I think it's important. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's really easy to keep checking your email or get caught. I sometimes have this sort of tendency when I see an email coming in that I want to reply immediately. And of course, the easiest answer to that is just don't check your email all the time.
Yes. And I see it with my boss. So she is supposed to be off this week, but she must have worked every day this week because I've had emails off her every day this week.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. And the other thing is, she says that she checks her email because things like important things come through and everyone expects her to check her email. And I think, well, everyone expects you to check your email because you are checking your email. And if you didn't check your email, they would learn.
It's a bit of a chicken and egg thing, right? Yeah. Like, where did that pattern start?
Yeah. Yeah. But and what it does for me, it makes me even stronger with my boundaries with her. Yeah. So if she wants me to do something on my day off, I'm like, no, it's my day off, because I just feel that you'd give a little and it'd get just taken over.
Yeah. And it's also it's just because she does it. I think that's a lot like that. I think that happens a lot, right? Like when you show a boundary, people get offended because they don't have that same boundary.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you should have said yes.
Yeah. I blocked her on my personal phone. I blocked her.
Oh, wow.
Because there were a couple of incidents where she's rung me on my personal phone, and that's created an issue for me with what she's rung me about. And I thought, do you know, if she hadn't crossed that boundary of ringing me on my personal phone, that wouldn't be an issue, or I wouldn't have known about it. So I wouldn't have had to deal with it. So I've blocked her. I haven't told her she's blocked, but she'd obviously not be able to get through.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how that works. Like, I don't know if you know when somebody blocks you, whether the phone just keeps ringing or something. I don't know.
It says when you block someone, the person won't know that you block them.
So it probably just keeps on ringing
or cuts off. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, don't really care.
But that's good. No, but that's good. But I think that is good. And I think that's all about being unapologetic about your boundaries.
I know. I'm really clear about them. Constantly really clear about them.
I think this is probably because you have dogs.
Yeah. They taught me so much.
I think this is why I admire cats so much, because I want to learn that whole I don't give a fuck. But they have. Yeah. Right? That's what I don't want to be loyal like a dog. I want to be like, I'll if I want your attention, I'll come and claim it. Yeah. Otherwise, leave me alone and just leave me some biscuits.
Yeah, that'd be Anton, though. That's Anton, and he's a dog.
I still think it's my cat, but the cats that I had when I was in the Netherlands, one of them is obviously is clearly more a dog kind of type, yeah.
Well, if I if I go and fuss Anton now when he's sleeping, he'll growl at me.
Okay, Anton is a cat. That's clear. Okay. So, shall we dive in?
Yes, let's.
Yes. Okay, so I wanted to talk about this book because it's very much connected, actually, with my trying to figure out my story. And it's also, this was one of the books that I've edited. So I came across this book as an editor. And it was one of those projects that I really wanted to take on. I was really excited to do. Because so the book is called Editing Your Novel's Structure: Tips, Tricks, and Checklists to Get You from Start to Finish. It's by Bethany A. Tucker. And she's like, I know her, I know her as a writer. She's also a developmental editor. So I was really curious about this book. And when she asked me to edit it for her because her usual editor couldn't make it, I was like, yes, I want to do this. So the reason why I wanted to talk about it here is because it had a massive impact on the novel that I'm working on right now.
Okay, that's always a good recommendation.
Yes, and it kind of threw me off because the thing is, when I read this book, and this is one of the reasons why Bethany thought of me first when her editor fell through, the one she usually uses, is because I'm in the same line of business. She was like, if there's anything that's not clear or any, you know, like gaps, I would probably understand what she was trying to say.
Okay.
And that was true. That's so it was really nice. Because there was a nice back and forth about like, and it was also easy for me when I thought there was a gap, I could just sort of like, I think what you're trying to say is this. Instead of like, usually I would query and say, this is a bit unclear. What are you trying to say here? Could you elaborate? Yeah. Now I could just say, are you trying to say this? Or like, don't forget about this. So that was really nice. But as I was going through the edits, right, so the book is really for, it's a very, I don't want to call it a basic book, but the audience is definitely more beginner writers.
Well, you say that, but actually I think when I looked at it, I thought it's quite comprehensive. It's a short book, but it's comprehensive.
Yeah, so I know. Yes, I talked about this with Bethany as well. She also sees it as a book that is for beginning authors. But my question is, do we just think that because it's such a sort of like, because it's only like, it's not even 80 pages.
But it is, so when I read it, it is stuff that I do know. There wasn't anything in it that I didn't know. But at the same time, having it all together allowed me to go through it and consider it in the context of what I was writing at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's what threw me off because because I know everything that was in there and I even was able to sort of bring some stuff that were very implicit in the draft that I got and make it more explicit just for a newer audience. Things that we know because we know. And then as I was going through it, I was also, of course, like when I wasn't working on this project, I was working on my own novel. And what I love about this book is that she has these lists of questions.
Yeah.
Checklists. And of course, the checklists. And of course, yeah. I'm a massive journaling fan. And just seeing the questions and actually sitting with them and just going, yeah, how is that working in this particular draft? And things started clicking.
Yeah.
About this mess that is the manuscript.
Well, it's sort of, I thought that it was written to be used like a tool.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so, definitely.
So to, with the checklist, so that you could take and go, right, I'm going to edit this novel now, and you could use this short book as a tool to make sure that you'd covered all the points.
Yeah, that's definitely what the book is, yeah.
But I don't think that that's just for new writers. I think seasoned writers could find that useful as well, as you pointed out.
Yes, that's what I was thinking as well, because it's not as if I don't know how story structure works.
Mm.
But even if you know story structure, like, then this will be quite an easy checklist, but at least you can see if you covered all your bases.
And it's all in one place.
Yes, and it's very broad, actually.
And it covers all the elements.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Chapter on diversity.
Yes. And so this is actually, so funny story, this book, I know this because I know the author. We had, there was another author that we know did this 30-day author conference online in August. And she had asked Bethany to talk about structure. So this is when, so Bethany wrote like a handout, but the handout turned into this book.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right. So it is sort of like she was because she realized, of course, as she was preparing that she couldn't, like, in 30 minutes, she couldn't do it all. Mm. And she knows way too much about this. So this is how the book came about, actually. And of course, I saw the video. I had the handout. And then when I realized she was talking about diversity, this is, of course, when I approached her for my other project about representation. And this is why in the new year, we are going to do a podcast about diversity in writing. Because I had been looking for somebody to do this with.
There's such a gap for that type of podcast. Or writing, actually.
Well, there's plenty of podcasts on diversity. And there's even a podcast on diversity in publishing and diversity in authors. But there is no podcast on, okay, so how do we write diverse characters in our work?
Yeah. Well, that's what
we're going to cover. What did you say?
That's what I want. So I will be listening.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is exactly, so we're in the preparation. So this is, of course, when I was going through this handout, which was like not as extensive as this. I was like, okay, so this is exactly the kind of person that I want to work with. So when I got the chance to edit the updated version of the handout, which is now the handbook, I was like, give this to me.
Yeah. I can see why.
Yeah. So I thought it was really, so this is really funny, right? Because we both approach it as like, this is like a handbook for like beginning authors. But like you said, yeah, even for seasoned authors, just having the checklist and going like, okay, so what was it again? What do I need to do? Oh yeah. Okay. So let me check. Did I do this? How do I answer this question? That can be really, really useful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything so for me, like, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say anything that makes editing easier.
Well, I actually wonder, I see this differently because I love the editing, right? Like, I'm pretty sure most people will consider me crazy that I have been going since summer over a 145,000 word draft instead of just bidding it and starting over.
Well,
right?
You've got my sympathy.
Well, that's good. But I think actually for people who are struggling, like, I think these questions that she asks make it less daunting.
Yeah.
Because so for me, when I read this book, I get super excited because I already loved editing. So I wonder how people who love the first drafting but hate the editing, I will actually wonder how they will feel about this, whether it actually makes it less daunting for them, because there's like, it's very succinct. It's like, it's very coherent. It's very, the book itself is structured.
It breaks it down, doesn't it? Yes. So that you're not trying to do everything at once.
No, and what I really love, she somewhere says, like, if you need to do a pass for each, like, topic that she discusses, just do it. It's fine. I love that. Because you cannot do it all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't hold it all in your head at once.
No. You cannot.
I love editing too. But sometimes it can be daunting.
Well, I think for me, it is always daunting, right? When you see the manuscript, and I'm always convinced that this is the draft, I'm going to learn that there's actually no story.
Mm.
So this for me, and especially like, it's interesting for me as well, this particular project, because, so we also talked a little, because I, of course, as I was editing this book, I had like a 48 hour period that I kind of went off the grid, and I only contacted people to scream at them. And I screamed at you at some point as well. But in that period, I was like having post-its all over my house. You know how I love post-its.
I do.
I was sort of like really looking at my novel from the sort of meta perspective. And it were the things that she asks in this book that made me go, okay, so maybe things just need to go. Like, I'm making it way too complex. So I started like readings, I started getting rid of stuff. And then everything else kind of started falling into place. So it's also, maybe it's not a basic handbook for beginner authors, but maybe it's a book that will help you get back to basics.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt it was valuable to read.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I loved as well is, like, I had to remind myself that when I started writing this particular book, I knew nothing about story. This is the first book I've ever, like, I've always written, but this is the first story that I ever written from beginning to end.
Yeah.
So I knew nothing about story when I started this idea. So I think this book helped me to go, oh yeah, let's actually sort of like get this manuscript and go through the checklist and see what shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I really appreciate it. And it's a short read. And I cannot wait to get the paperback and just have it. And every time I finish a book, I just go through the checklist.
Yeah. I always buy paperbacks of craft books.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I have all my little, my little bookmarks, like my sticky notes.
And just the ease of picking them up and being able to turn to a page.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about having the physical book that makes it easier.
Yeah. I also, I do prefer. So I cannot wait to get a paperback of this one. And then actually having the checklists all together.
So do you know when it's out?
Let me double check that for a second. I think it's the 26th of December, but I know it's on pre-order.
Okay.
So many dates in my head. Where is it? Yes, the title will be released on December 26, 2020. And from what I got, it will be published wide, so everywhere.
Brilliant.
It's going to come out everywhere. And then I know she's working on the paperback, so that should be there by then as well. But yeah, I really, I really think it's a nice, like I said, like it helps you go back to basic. It makes the process less daunting. It's a nice refresher as well, I would say.
And everything in one place.
Yes, that. And also, I just like the reassuring, the tone is reassuring. Like, it's all good. I like that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm glad you enjoyed it too.
I did. Yeah. Thank you for asking me to read it.
Yeah, because it is a bit tricky if you're, like, editing it. And then, because that does something to the reading process.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's good to know. So I would love to know now how somebody who doesn't like the editing process, yeah, how they would feel about the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm first drafting, so it's not the ideal time to actually put it into practice. But when I get to the end of that first draft, I will revisit it.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah. Oh, then we can maybe talk about it again and see how it actually is working in practice for you as well. Because for that 48 hours, I stopped editing this book because I needed to turn to my own novel and actually put into practice, like look at these checklists, answer the questions. And then it's also, I really love how she talks about making it visual. So she gives like the examples of all the, how can you map it out?
You would love that.
Well, you have seen the pictures of what I was doing to my living room. So I was doing that for like 48 hours straight. I had my washi tape and my post-its, and it was a bit mental. But very productive. I love that. And she's very honest about her own process as well in it, which I also appreciate. So yeah, I think it's a great book, and I would definitely recommend it, especially to people who struggle with the structural part, getting that right, just right.
I think it would be really interesting to hear from anyone who has used it after the 26th of December.
Yes. For anybody who's like, I want to check this book out, we'll leave the link in the show notes.
Okay. Bye for now. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.